Nerds and geeks, hold on to your seats because it's about to go down.
Welcome to Nerdorama, the voice of the Nerd Nation. I'm Mo Kelly, he's Tawala Sharp, and together we bring you your daily dose of nerd news, analysis, and conversations with the best and brightest of the Nerdverse.
Tawala, I've always been very clear, I've been lukewarm on the whole idea of Harrison Ford reprising his role as Indiana Jones. I didn't see the need for Indiana Jones 5, even though there is some heat behind this movie. We saw Harrison Ford come out. He even got teary-eyed when they showed some footage at Comic-Con. And there is some heat behind this movie. It's just not coming from me. I really don't care at all. Can you at least convince me otherwise why I should care?
Look, I am a fan of the Indiana Jones franchise. I may be one of a handful of people who actually enjoyed Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. I feel that this story, the story of Indiana Jones, needed a period for this character. And this film is that send-off. Indy 5 is the last hurrah for Indiana Jones, and he will be passing the fedora to the next great adventurer.
Yeah, and hopefully he dies. When I say hopefully he dies, I need Indiana Jones to die. That's about the only way you can bring an end to the saga. I know it's kind of morbid, but that's honestly how you need to do it. It needs to come to an end.
Period. I can dig that. I think that we will have a beautiful send-off for this character. I know that Harrison Ford is of the opinion that he wants the characters that he brought to life, the characters that he made famous, he wants there to be a finality to their ending, which is why Han Solo died in the recent tragically terrible Star Wars franchise. But he said, the only way I'm coming back is if my character dies. And I believe that is the same going for Indy 5. So your wish will be granted, and we'll get a beautiful send-off for one of the greatest archaeologists to ever live in film.
That is a sequel. But if you've listened to the Mo Kelly Show, you know how we feel about certain reboots or remakes. We discussed a few months ago the possibility of the movie Bullet, Steve McQueen, that movie being remade. And now it's going to happen, and they have a director and a star. Steven Spielberg is set to direct this Bullet reboot starring Bradley Cooper. On its face, I love Steven Spielberg. On its face, I love Bradley Cooper. He's a fellow Georgetown alum, just like I am. I'm not hating on either of those individuals. Can Steven Spielberg do a wonderful movie? Of course. Is Bradley Cooper a wonderful actor? Of course. But I don't see the need to remake Bullet, and I'm going to make an apt comparison. Steven Spielberg remade War of the Worlds, starring Tom Cruise. It wasn't a bad movie. It just was a bad remake of a classic. And if you can't, and I always say, leave the classics and cult classics alone. We talked about that seminal chase, car chase, that all car chases were patterned after. It actually set the set the tone for every car chase in every movie after that, in the original Bullet. And I know, unless they do it beat for beat, or really do something which is even better without CGI, but practical special effects, I'm going to hate it, because I love the original for a nostalgia standpoint, because it's something that my father introduced me to. And also just from a cinematic standpoint, I generally don't enjoy remakes of classics or cult classics.
I don't know. Oh, I think that this one will work, because I think Steven Spielberg has a respect for the original. I think Steven Spielberg has patterned a lot of the great chases in his films after, you know, Bullet.
Yes, he
has.
So
I think him coming back to this franchise that he actually loves and knows like the back of his cinematic hand, and he's putting someone like Bradley Cooper, who I think is a great stand-in for Steve McQueen. I mean, if you're trying to think of an actor who can possess that same charisma on screen, Bradley Cooper can do it. These two together, with how you can film nowadays, not using special effects, but the cameras that they have and the way that they can capture motion and the way that he can direct a car chase using today's filming technology, Mo, we are going to get a fantastic remake.
Okay, let me go to the other end of the spectrum. I said classics or cult classics. Escape from New York is a cult classic. Cult classic.
It is.
Okay. Kurt Russell, Snake Plissken. I love that trashy movie, okay? But it's a cult classic. No one needs to remake Escape from New York because it was an original and it was great for what it was during its time. The Duke of New York, okay? Isaac Hayes. you know, Adrian Barbeau. There was so many great things about that movie. Donald Pleasance as the president. Leave it alone. But they're not going to leave it alone. And they have a remake, reboot in the pipeline. And they also have a director for it. And this is something where I'm not going to see. And I know if I do see it, I'm not going to like it because I loved the original too much. They need to leave it alone.
You don't think that radio silence can do it? You don't think that radio silence can give us a solid reboot of Escape from New York?
They can have James Gunn.
This is
a
film set in the future, so the premise of it still stands.
Yes.
It still stands, so it's not like you're trying to reboot Warriors, which in today's age wouldn't make sense.
Makes sense, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? You know, but a film like Escape from New York, that could make sense for this post-apocalyptic, you know, escape from what, the prison state of New York or the prison island of Manhattan. It could work. I'm not super, super familiar with radio silence, but 20th Century Studios is. No. And they're saying, let's go.
Okay, one more before we get out of here and go to break. Bob Ross. I'm sorry if it's not Ryan Reynolds as Bob Ross. I'm not so sure I want to see it. I like Owen Wilson, but when Ryan Reynolds channeled Bob Ross in a Deadpool promo, for me, he killed it for anyone else to come behind him. Maybe that's just me, but I am interested in seeing a Bob Ross movie about his life. And, you know, to be fair, Owen Wilson, I think, can pull it off.
Owen Wilson possibly can, and the thing about it is while Ryan Reynolds, he killed it, and it was funny what Owen Wilson, who we know from doing comedic films in this story, is not telling a funny movie. This isn't a comedy. This is a serious look at the life of Bob Ross behind the scenes, the man behind all of those beautiful brushstrokes. That's what Owen Wilson is doing. And I'm thinking to myself, he could do it. He has the look. He has the tonality of his voice and the mannerisms. But I think when you peel back this story, there's going to be a lot of people that were like, I thought Bob Ross was one way. Now I'm seeing Owen Wilson's portrayal. I'm realizing we didn't even know this dude.
Well, that's one I think I will see.
I'm a really big Sylvester Stallone fan. I am a really big Rocky fan since the very beginning. I just think it's great cinema in the sense of it's one of those movie franchises which evokes emotion out of you. You're actively rooting for Rocky. You get into his struggles on a family level, you know, on a fight level, of course. And the villains within the Rocky franchise have always been good. Obviously, we know that Apollo Creed was based on Muhammad Ali, but Carl Weathers was great in that role. Clubber Lang, Mr. T, fantastic. Ivan Drago, Dolph Lundgren, fantastic. Those are iconic characters. How do I know? Because people are still talking about them to this day. And Rocky as a franchise segued, as we all know, into Creed. It's not Rocky, but it's based on the story of the illegitimate son of Apollo Creed, Adonis Creed. And now that franchise has taken off, and Creed 3 is going to premiere in March of next year. I'm talking about this because in recent months, Sylvester Stallone has been bitterly critical of not only the Rocky franchise, because if you don't know the backstory, he does not own the rights to Rocky. One of the original producers owns Rocky and can make Rocky the movies in any way he so fits, decides, and can also license the use of Rocky, that character, to other franchises like the Creed franchise. Now, Ryan Coogler, who directed the first Creed, and we were talking about Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, he's a fantastic director, as we all know. But Ryan Coogler, from what I understand, made it almost impossible for Rocky to refuse coming on that first Creed movie, because I think he was paid anywhere between $10 and $15 million. And Sylvester Stallone was not getting $10 to $15 million for any movie, much less a Rocky-adjacent movie. In other words, it was a favor at that point. No one was necessarily looking for another quote-unquote Rocky movie. I talk about all of that because Sylvester Stallone is back in the news, but specifically criticizing the Creed franchise. He says, quote, "I know what it," as in the Creed franchise, "could have been. It was taken in a direction that is quite different than I would have taken it." Let me stop right there. Well, yeah, because it isn't called Rocky. It's called Creed. It wasn't about you, dog. I mean, it contained you. It, you know, you were in it, but it wasn't about you, and it wasn't for your generation of characters. It just wasn't. Now, I know he probably stylistically may have wanted other things to do, but clearly it's very successful, and it's not my fault that he doesn't own the rights to Rocky. I don't know what happened there. I don't know.
Yeah, it's sad because his comments are now having people, you know, in the realm of social media saying maybe we should call him Salty instead of Rocky, you know, and his views, whatever they are, they have to be considered because, yes, everything that's coming, be it Creed, now on his third outing, the Drago spinoff, which is coming.
And he's also talking about that as well.
He's talking about that as well as saying, I'm not a part of that. You know, he's saying that he feels the Creed franchise is going into a dark place that he would not have taken it. But that is because the story of Adonis Creed is a different story than Rocky's hardworking, coming up from nothing story. This is a story about a guy who came up from nothing from entirely different circumstances.
In a different age.
In a different age, in a darker period in his life. Rocky did not go through the things that Adonis did. Rocky did not spend time in prison that we know of. Adonis did, and he's now dealing with all of that and the success. So this story seems natural for what we should be seeing from Creed, which again, as you just said, is not a Rocky film. I believe that Sylvester Stallone's Rocky character was given a beautiful send-off in the last film, and that was it. He even said, it's not my story anymore. It's all about you now, kid.
But you know what? And there's something else I will point to Sylvester Stallone. You, when you were principally in control of the Rocky franchise, made a conscious decision to defecate on your cinematic son to train Tommy Gunn, Tommy Morrison. Remember?
Yes.
So if he wanted to pass it on in a generational sense within the franchise, they could have.
Yeah.
They chose to tell a different story.
Because the film Rocky, Balboa.
In that's
the film
right, Balboa.
His son wanted nothing to do with boxing.
Which they picked it up in Creed because there was a falling out between them. They actually carried that line over.
Yes.
That storyline over. So, and Creed is all about the next generation, everything about it. He fought the son of Ivan Drago. We don't know if he may fight the son of Clubber Lang.
Depending
on the rumors. But we know that Adonis Creed is the son of Apollo Creed. There's no more Rocky to tell.
Rocky is going to be fine. When I say Rocky, I'm talking about Sylvester Stallone. He has an entire Rambo series that he's working on right now. They're working on a John Rambo series, which I think is great because picking up after the last Rambo series, this dude still has some killing left in him, and I'm down with that.
Here's Salty. This is Sylvester Stallone. Quote, "This is a classic case of them going around and trying to continually cherry pick aspects of Rocky without even asking me if I want to join in."
What?
It goes on. "I'm not an executive producer on the Creed movies." That's correct. "Ryan Coogler is. Michael B. Jordan is.
Erwin Winkler and Robert Chardoff's children are. Those are like the original producers of Rocky. Mm-hmm. Not mine. I'm the only one left out. Close quote. Well, maybe you signed a bad deal.
That sounds salty, man. That sounds
maybe
salty.
Maybe you didn't think that Rocky was going to turn into something, so you just took the money and signed away all the rights.
Sounds like it. It sounds like you did not make a solid business decision.
Not my problem.
Look, I love everything you were in. Even that Samaritan movie you just did, I watched it.
I sure did.
You know, it was fun for what it was. All right.
Predictable, but fun.
But fun. I support Sylvester Stallone because you have found a new niche to give us solid movies. I'm looking forward to the next Expendables film, which I know is going to be over the top. Keep doing what you're doing, but don't reach back and poo-poo the next generation of Rocky franchise films.
I mean, this is happening to your point at the same time. He says, quote, I think it's going to happen. Talking about his Rambo streaming project. I believe the Expendables aside and Escape Plan aside, that franchise, which are very minor in comparison, minor. The reason that Sylvester Stallone can still greenlight something like a Rambo project or those subsequent Rambo movies is because of the success of Creed. I may be wrong. But
I feel you.
He got the Academy Award nomination. I think it prolonged his relevancy in Hollywood in a way that he wasn't able to do by himself. I would rather he say, thank you. It's going in a different direction. I'm not part of it. But he doesn't need to throw shade.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Sylvester Stallone, you're welcome on this program anytime. I'm just going to put that out there because you never know who's listening. So you can always come on and we can talk about it and you can tell me where I'm wrong. But until that time, it just seems like there's more salt there than anything. Hey guys, Mo Kelly here. The new daily Nerdorama podcast is featured on iHeartRadio. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast feed to get your daily dose of nerd news. Also available on iTunes, Spreaker, and all the top podcasting apps. It's free and perfect for everyone in your nerd family.
Nerdorama is produced by Tuala Sharp and continues to be a segment on The Mo Kelly Show. Weekends on KFI Los Angeles. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nerdorama News.
Until next time, keep it comic.